Amen. All right, let's get into the message tonight. Deuteronomy 7. Stand when you find that. Deuteronomy 7. We'll read our text beginning in verse 12. All the way to the end. Let me just read verse 1, jump to verse 12, all the way to the end. Ready? Verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. That's the promise of God. He's going to do that. This is nations that they could not defeat. There's seven nations here. They couldn't defeat one of them. But God said, I'm going to give you all seven. That's amazing. And I told you to go to 12 and go to verse 9 instead. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. Don't you love that statement? If you didn't underline that in your Bible, you should. He is God, the faithful God. That's it. This is who he is. He is faithful. And I thank the Lord for that. Now verse 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken. Just mark that phrase in your mind, because that's a condition, isn't it? If is a condition. To these judgments and keep them, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy hand or land, thy corn and thy wine and thy oil, the increase of thine kine, which is cattle, the flocks of thy sheep, and all the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. I love that phrase. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male nor female barren among you or among your cattle. The Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them. This is the commandment, by the way. This is what God is telling them to do. Let's begin that verse again, 16. Remember, it's if you do this. This is one of the things he's telling them to do. Verse 16, thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thy heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispose of them? That would be what hinders them, isn't it? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember that the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. Remember, Brother Eric, your testimony. Just think about what God has done. I mean, God took them out of Egypt. They walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. I mean, they saw God to do some pretty incredible things. They need to remember that. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. And thou shalt not be frightened at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. You know, I think sometimes we want God to, you know, we don't want to be the bulldozer, right? God, help me not to be a bulldozer. But then we want God to be the bulldozer. We need to trust His timing, because He knows that if He just cleaned house, we wouldn't be ready for what is in store. We need to let God do it little by little, little by little. And that's okay. That's His plan. Verse 23, and the Lord thy God shall deliver unto them, or them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination to thine house. Ooh, that's a whole sermon right there. Thou shalt not bring an abomination to thine house, lest thou be cursed with a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. I felt like I might write a sermon on that, actually. All right, well, let's pray, and we'll get into this. We're going to talk about the other side, other end of the stick. The other end of the stick. Father, I pray your blessings on the message. Help our hearts to be in tune with you. Speak to us. Change us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks for standing. The other end of the stick. Listen to this. I got this from a tremendous book written by a guy named Stephen Covey. It's 7 Habits for Highly Effective People. Anybody know that book? Okay, there's several of you. He said this. He said, you are free to choose your actions, but you are not free to choose the consequences of those actions. That sounds familiar. We've said it recently. Let me say it again. Tremendous statement. You are free to choose your action. You know what that means? It means you can do whatever you want to do. And you are free. You know what's amazing? He actually told a story about the concentration camps during the Nazi Germany invasion and taking the Jews and putting them in these camps, you know, and the torture, the torment, the degradation, the just dehumanization of this amazing people of God, and just treated like worse than animals, you know. And all the things they went through, and the desire, obviously, one of the desires is to take away all of their humanity, just take all their dignity away. But you know what? This individual who was in a concentration camp found that there's one thing that the Nazis couldn't take from him. There's one thing he could not that no one could take from him, and it's the power to choose. Did you know that that's one thing that no one can steal from you, can take from you? It's something that God has given to you. You might not be able to change the circumstances or the things that come into your life that affect your life, but you can always choose how you will respond to those circumstances. That choice. So, you're free to choose your act. You are free to choose your actions, and let me say reactions. But you are not free to choose the consequences of those actions. You may choose to step in front of a train, but you cannot choose what happens after that. You are free to choose to be dishonest. Although the social consequences might depend on whether or not you get caught, that is, if you're being dishonest. But did you know that there is a consequence that's directly associated to dishonesty that will be a part of you? And he says this, the natural consequence is the basic character shift that becomes fixed in you because you are a dishonest person. You cannot change that consequence, whether or not you get caught. Again, you're free to choose your response to any situation, he says, but in doing so, you are at the same time choosing the consequence of that decision. For example, there is a stick here that's going to represent an action or a reaction. Let me scoot this back a little bit. And whenever you pick up the stick on this end, here's what it means. That this is the action that you're going to take, or the reaction that you're going to have to any given circumstance in your life. And here's the point. You can choose to pick up the stick. By making a choice, you can choose to eat pizza at 11 o'clock. But when you pick this end of the stick up, you're also getting the other end of the stick, which means 3 a.m. You're ready. Yes, hope you have Tums on the side of the bed. Raise your hand, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, ain't nobody. Okay, there's a couple up here. Right? You can choose. We talked about Twinkies and Ding Dongs. How many of you tried to be a Twinkie in a Ding Dong world this week? Amen. I did too. We ate the whole, both boxes. I really asked the Lord to help me. So if you're like, I'm doing it, Pastor. I'm eating Twinkies and Ding Dongs every day. And you decided to do that. You also get the other end of the stick, yes, which means you're going to gain 20 pounds or so. Okay? Here's the point. You can't make a choice and not get the consequence of that choice. You will always get the other end of the stick. Always. It comes along with your choices. And so we need to be mindful that our actions, the choices that we make in any given circumstance, is going to have a consequence connected to that action. Our reactions that we choose is always going to have a consequence associated or connected to that reaction. It'll always be there. So we need to think more. I want us to get this before we get into this passage. We need to start thinking more about the other end of the stick when we make our choices. Israel had been suffering a lot in their history. Now, let me say that most of their suffering, I think Bible studiers would relate to this or understand this. A lot of Israel's sufferings was directly related to their choices to deny God, to run away from God, to go away from God. I mean, the covenant time in Israel's history when in Mount Sinai, God gave Israel the Ten Commandments. Leading up to that, God made covenant with Israel. He said, in this instance, I will be your God and you will be my people. Do we have a covenant agreement? Israel said, we want this. And then just a few weeks, months later, what happened? They built a golden calf and they worshiped it. And over again, Israel is worshiping false gods, little g, and putting the true and living God on the side, on the back. And they're worshiping these other things. They're making choices, you see. They're making decisions. All through their history, they're making decisions. I think that it was the golden calf that brought us out of Egypt. And they're making that choice to worship the golden calf. But what they bring into their life is the other end of the stick of that decision, and that is the judgment of God. The judgment of God coming into the nation of Israel because of their decision to worship false gods. Judgment of God bringing what would happen to those nations who worshiped false gods and hated the true living God, which was destruction. And so Israel suffered. And they constantly were going in and out of this destructive pattern because they were making choices to replace God with false gods. Yeah. During the time of Jeremiah, when he wrote to a nation who had went into a 70-year exile, being separated from their land because king after king after king. Remember the kings? You know, we start with Saul and David and Solomon, and then it just, at the end of Solomon's reign and all the wives that he had, they turned his heart, and then in Rehoboam, it split the kingdom, and it was just like one king after another did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and judgment after judgment after judgment came into the land of Israel. So that, centuries later, what Israel found is they're being taken captive by the Empire of Babylon, and now they're not even in their nation. They're in a foreign nation. We read the story about Daniel. He's in Babylon. He's being thrown in the lion's den. We read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're in Babylon, and they're standing when everybody else is bowing. This is the exile. This is them being separated away from the temple and away from the ability to worship and to know God in the intimate way that they had known Him. Why did this happen? Because they got the other end of the stick. They made a decision to step away from God, and it brought consequences in their life. Now here's what God wanted to do. And by the way, he still wants to do this today. He wants to bless them. He wants to pour the blessing down on them. He doesn't just want them to do okay. He doesn't want them to just do, just to be like be a little bit above average. He wants them to be blessed. He wants them to be, overwhelmingly blessed. And he wants that for him. He deeply wants that for them. But what they had to understand is that their actions and reactions would determine the blessings of God. In other words, God's blessings were conditional. It mattered if they obeyed. It mattered if they disobeyed. Now, we know that He would always be their God because He is the faithful God. He will always be their God. He won't abandon them. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But let's not pretend like we can, like Israel, they could live any way they wanted to, worship any way they wanted to, do anything they wanted to do. You know, like in Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They couldn't just do that and then not have the other end of the stick of those decisions. There were consequences. And God says, listen, I want to bless you so much, but the blessings are conditional. My love isn't conditional. I'm going to love you no matter what. But the blessings, those are conditional. Yeah. And so Moses revealed the conditions. Oh, I'm so glad. What are they? Let's look at 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass. Here's a key word. If you circle words, this might be a good one to circle. If. Because if you don't have the if, then you're not going to get the condition. You're not going to be able to know. You're not going to be able to fulfill it because you don't understand this is what it is here. If ye hearken to these judgments, keep them, do them, the Lord thy God shall keep thee unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy father. And he will love thee. Look at verse 13. And bless thee. There's bless. Multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, the fruit of thy land. So there he says bless, and then he says bless again. Look at verse 14. Thou shalt be blessed. So three times he says bless. He wants to bless them. He wants their life to be blessed. He says, you hearken unto me through obedience. God promises to bless them. Now, how would he bless them? He would bless through fertility. I mean, they would be blessed on a human level. Their animals would, their livelihood that way would be blessed. Their crops would be blessed. I was, somebody this evening was saying they've been doing some canning. I've never done that before. It sounds, I don't know, complicated, but probably isn't. Well, they were going to be blessed. They were going to have a lot of storage in the cellar, a lot of fruit in the cellar. And God said, I would do that. Then he goes on to say that they wouldn't have the kind of consequences that Egypt had. Remember the judgments that came on Egypt because they would not let the people of God go? Let my people go! Pharaoh's like, nope. And then judgment came, like curse after curse after curse. And God doesn't want to curse his people. But if we act like Egypt and we deny and disobey God, then what happens is the conditions of our decisions to deny Israel's decision, like Egypt, to deny and disobey God, it also brings the other end of the stick. You can't pick up one side and not get the other side. And so the consequences were there in Israel, but it wouldn't have to be. God wanted to bless them. Israel was to destroy all the peoples within the borders of Canaan, and this is a clear command from God. Look at verse 16. Thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee without pity. And then he says in the last part of that verse, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. So God says, destroy the people of the land. Oh man, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? Well, it feels like when you read it on a surface level that it's harsh, but it isn't harsh. Why? Because first of all, because God had given them a chance. A chance after a chance after a chance. They had a chance. They would have known about the true God. Like Egypt. Think of Egypt. Egypt would have seen the miracles of God and still not let the people of God go. And so it's like they're seeing God and sensing God and seeing the gospel of God's people take place in front of them. And they're saying no. And they're saying no. And they're saying no. And they had their chance. And then after that, there's a judgment that comes. And so Israel is to destroy the peoples of the land. Why? Because they had a chance and they rejected God and they hated God. Look at verse 10 of our passage. Just back up to verse 10. Listen to what their testimony is. And repay them that hate him. That's how they feel about God. The nations that are going to be destroyed, they hate God. They hate the name of God. They hate the message of God. They hate the gospel. They hate the work of God. That's a strong word, hate, isn't it? Then it goes on, hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not slack to him that hateth him. So two times in that verse, their testimony is that they hated God. So that's the first. And we would say, oh, it's kind of harsh that they would go in and destroy this people, but they had the chance and their attitude is hate towards God. And so God says there needs to be a conflict here. The second reason is because if Israel didn't destroy them, then they would become a snare to Israel. Why? Because then they would start serving their gods. They would start connecting themselves to the gods of the nations around them. They would start serving those gods. Well, why is that a big deal? Come on. Well, here's why it's a big deal. Because you can't expect the blessing. You can't expect the blessings of God and pick up this stick of serving other gods and then not get the other side of that stick, which are the consequences of that decision. You don't pick up the stick, serve other gods, and then consequences, God's blessings. No. You pick up, serve other gods, you get judgment and destruction. And Israel had it, always had it. It seemed like constantly they're either going in and out or out of judgment. They're either going into exile or being delivered by God. And by the way, what a merciful God he is. Isn't that our life sometimes? Like, oh man, I can't believe Israel. I can't believe they would do that. Come on, look in the mirror. I mean, we all do it, right? And we all have times where we're just close to God and then we're back in our sin again. We're close to God, we're back in our sin. God, you know, we see ourselves in Israel, but what we can learn tonight is that God's blessings are absolutely conditional, and He wants to bless us. He wants to bring His blessings in our life. Yeah, so Israel needed that. They needed to trust the Lord. They needed to move forward and experience the blessings that are mentioned because they took action that God was leading them to take. If the people obeyed, then they would be blessed. If they disobeyed, then they would forfeit the blessings of the covenant. God would still be available, but they would not have the blessings of the covenant because they disobeyed. And they would have judgment and destruction. Think about it this way. I was thinking about my kids, and I want to bless my kids. I know we tease about Ethan, but we'll miss him. Start missing him in a couple weeks. No. I want to bless my children. I don't want to give them corrections. Like, I tell them that. I don't want to give you a correction. But what am I supposed to do? You threw a rock at your brother and hit him in the head with it. I mean, you picked up the side of the stick. I'm going to throw a rock at my brother. God's blessings. Nope. You will not be getting a blessing for that. In fact, the consequences of that choice is a blessing for nobody. I'm not even sure. I mean, is throwing rocks at people? I don't know. I mean, do you even get a blessing out of that? Does that make you feel better? You threw a rock at somebody? I don't know. I want to bless my kids. I do want to bless them. But I cannot just bless my kids no matter what they do. I can't just open the window of heaven, like Brother Tim read that scripture this morning on tithing. God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. You know, I want to do that for my children. Dad, when am I going to get a car? Oh, man, I don't know. I try not to laugh. I don't know. It's hard for me not to laugh. I don't know. We should pray about it. I can't not laugh, you know. No, it'll happen. I want to bless them. Yeah. Amen? Right. You know who you are. I want to bless you. You're not ready for it yet, you know? I mean, when am I going to get a cell phone? You know, I mean, When are you ready for that? Well, it matters what you're doing. I want to bless you, but you keep picking up the wrong sticks. And then you get consequences for that. So I can't in life for my children bless them if they keep picking up the wrong sticks, doing things that is not warranting those kind of blessings. That's true for us, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
God wants to bless us. And His blessings in our life are conditional. You have to choose God, church. Look, you have to choose Him. It's not like God is just sort of in heaven and wringing His hand. He's just waiting for you to mess up so He can just slap you on the back of the head. You know, we were playing basketball, I think it was last night, for 2 hours. Praise the Lord, I could walk today, but barely. We were playing out there and these kids showed up. We went through three groups of kids. We were there for so long. Well, it started off just us. Then this group of kids showed up, and we played with them for three games. And then another group of some of you guys showed up, and then we played three more games. Well, the middle group, there were two brothers that were playing, and they were on a team, and one of them made a bad pass, and the other brother chased him down and slapped him in the back of the head. Sibling love right there. That's not how God is. God's not waiting for you to mess up so He can slap. No, He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. But it matters if we obey. It matters if we do what He wants, or if we decide to rebel and do what we want. You need to think about the consequences of your choices. Think about the other end of the stick. You're like, oh man, that's so easy, Pastor. I am so glad for this message. This changes everything. It's so much easier now, right? Why? It wasn't. It wasn't easy for Israel too. God told him so plainly, if you hearken. I'm like, oh man. And then He gives them like clear instructions. Have you ever read instructions on something? Has anybody ever read instructions on something? Okay. Have you ever read instructions? Some of us guys are like, man, who does that? We don't need no instructions. Hey, I got 7 screws left over. Is there supposed to be a whole panel that they give extra panels, you know, when you're building something? So why did I even say all this? I lost my place here. Man, I always do this. Oh, this is easy. Like, I can do this. This is, I mean, God says, if you hearken, then now I know what God wants me to do. I was talking about instructions. All the instructions are there. We read the instructions, and we know exactly what to do. In fact, there's not even any words. Those are the best instructions. It just says number one, and there's a picture. And then there's a number two, and there's another picture that's a little bit more advanced than the first picture. I'm like, man, this is my language. And so it's so easy. God made this so easy. If you pick up this side of the stick, if you hearken, then I will dump my blessings out on you. I'm like, oh man, this is easy. We're going to do this. But they struggle so much. And so do we. Question, why? And He tells us. He warns us about why we'll struggle. Verse 17, look what He said. If thou shalt say in thine heart, this is why we struggle, friends. These nations are more than I. How can I dispossess them? Verse 18, thou shalt not be afraid of them. You know what God said right there? He said you're going to struggle to obey when you know exactly what God wants you to do because you're going to be afraid. That's what He said to Israel, what Moses is pointing out about Israel, who are about to enter into the promised land. They know what God wants them to do. God said, I'm going to do it for you. You just do what I say, and I'm just going to do this for you. I'm going to defeat the nations. I'm going to pour my blessings on you. You're going to have fertility, and it's just, you're going to really be blessed. But they will struggle. Why? Because the enemies are strong. The enemies are more in number. They have disadvantages through weakness in the forces, artillery, in the sense of troops and things like that. Although God says, hey man, I'm going to send reinforcements in and I'm going to send the hornets in. One time I saw my brother-in-law. He was running across the yard doing this. Like, what is he doing? And he got into a hornet nest. And he was running from them. God says, I'm going to send hornets, reinforcements. I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to take care of everything. But they're going to be afraid. They're going to have fear to stick with God in obedience. We can do that. It's not, listen, watch. It's not that, sometimes it's not that we don't know what God wants us to do. It's not the issue. Like, God, I know what stick you want me to pick up. Like, I know what you want me to do. I'm just afraid that it's going to turn out like you said it's going to turn out. I'm afraid to do this. I'm afraid to obey you. I'm afraid to follow you. I'm afraid of how it's going to work out. And so we get afraid, don't we? God leads us to do things. And it's not even that we don't want to do what God wants us to do. We're just afraid to do it. We're nervous about things. Did you know when you obey God, it changes everything, boys? When you decide, I'm hopeful for you guys when you go to YouthCon and you'll make decisions, you'll come to the altar and you'll say, Lord, I want to obey you and I want to make this change in my life and I want to get this thing out of my life, whatever the thing is, and I want to do what you want me to do. Hallelujah, I'm going to do it. And you want to pick up God's stick. You just want to do it. But sometimes we get hindered by obedience to what we know God wants us to do because we're afraid of how it's going to turn out. Like, is it going to be better? Listen, when God leads and you obey Him, God has a tendency to stir things up, doesn't He? He does. God stirs things up. When you obey God, it changes things. It stirs things up. You know, I talked about going to camp. I told this story. I won't give details of it because we've heard it. But when God, He set a fire under me. Zachary picks out the song every Sunday morning at 8 prayer time, 8 o'clock prayer time. Set my soul on fire, Lord, set my soul on fire. And we sing about setting our souls on fire. At camp that year, 17 and a half years old, God set my soul on fire. I could not wait for somebody to talk to about Jesus. I was driving home. I saw a kid on the bike. I stopped in the middle of the road, rolled the window down, and yelled at him, hey! I scared him. He almost fell off his bike. And I just asked him if he was saved or not. And then he calmed down a little bit, still a little bit like, this guy is a weirdo. And he said, yeah, I'm saved. I didn't know what to say after that. I thought he wouldn't be saved, you know. I'm like, well, you need to get saved. You know, he said he was saved. I'm like, oh, man. Well, go tell somebody. He got on his bike, took off. He might have been running from me. I don't know. God stirred me up. Everything changes when God stirs you up. Now, I asked for a couple of helpers. Tate, you ready to help? Lauren, you ready to help? Okay, Lauren's so nervous. She's like, what am I going to do? We're gonna paint her face. No, we're not going to do that. Okay, you hold that. It's glass. So don't drop it. Turn around so everybody can see. Okay. Y'all two do make me nervous, but the Lord knows. So it'll be okay. All right, you're going to hold this water. Okay, this jar is filled with dirt. It might have a worm in it. I don't know. And we're going to eat that worm now. Okay, so you hold that. I'm going to take the lid off. Two hands. It's glass. Don't drop it. Lid off. Okay. You're going to take this water. You're going to go down a little bit, and you're going to pour it in there. Can you get that off? Okay, here we go. Pour it in there. Well, as much as you can. Oh, yeah. We're all really into this. This is going good. Oh, need it. There we go. Okay, keep holding that. Now you hold that. All right, let's put the lid on. Make sure it's tight. All right, come stand by the team, boys. Okay, very good. Now without... No, pour it on. No, don't do that. Hold on to it. This boy is... We're thinking alike. Shake it without dropping it. Oh, man, you are good. Keep doing it. Okay, while you're doing that, give Lauren a hand. She did a great job. High five. Okay, that's it. Okay, you got it? All right, we're going to take the lid off and drink it. No, I'm just kidding. That looks nasty, doesn't it? You did a good job, too. Could give him a hand. He did good. You know what God does sometimes? Watch. God stirs things up, doesn't He? He stirs things up. You know, in life, this is what we're afraid of when we pick up God's end of the stick in obedience. You know what? Well, if God, listen, I'm not saying I know what God's going to do in any of your hearts at Youth Con. I don't know. I know what I pray for. I won't say that necessarily out loud to everybody, but what if God works in one of your hearts and He calls you to something? He says, God, not pastor or your parent or anybody, it's God. God says, I have a mission for you. I have a mission for you. I have something for you. And so what you have to do is make a choice. Am I going to pick up God's end of the stick? But we're nervous about how obedience to God in that's going to turn out. When God called me to be a pastor, I didn't want to pick that stick up. Why? Because I was nervous about the consequences of it. And God was stirring things up. And sometimes when God stirs things up, it makes things feel murky. It makes things feel like I can't see how this is going to turn out. And because we can't see, because it's just like murky and stirred up, we can't see, it makes us not want to just dive into God's will with just obedience. And so we struggle. We struggle with obeying God when He stirs things up. So, for example, God stirs things up in you about your relationships. Listen, you know that there are times when God wants us to say no to things? God wants us to say no to things. It's like, well, Pastor, I thought God wants us to say yes to things. Well, no, He wants us to say no to things of this world so we can say yes to Him. I have heard this. Brother Chad, have you heard this? I think it was Brother Wayne Hardy who said this. All of the Ten Commandments are no's. Thou shalt nots. But do you know why God told us what not to do? Because there's a greater yes. God says, I don't want you to do this thing because there's something greater that you can say yes to. And so He works in us, and He guides us on the things He wants us not to do, and He leads us in the things that He wants us to do. But we get nervous about the consequences of our choices to obey God. For example, in our relationships, when we say no, well, if I say no to them, then they won't be my friend anymore. Like I threaten all of our missionaries, you know, which I'm teasing, of course. But sometimes we really feel like if we don't do certain things that people in our life, in our sphere of influence, are expecting us to do, because that maybe is what we've always done, or that's what everybody does, or you know, this is just what we're supposed to do, for us to say, no, we are not going to do that. Well, I might hurt their feelings. I might lose some friends. And that fear, although you know God wants you to say no, the fear of the loss of your friends, the stirring up and the murkiness of the consequence makes us sometimes say, I don't think I'm going to do it. I don't think I'm going to say no in this case. There's too many expectations here for me, you know, to say yes. And so we struggle to pick up God's end of the stick in some cases that way. Murky at our jobs. I remember one time I was witnessing, Brother Tim, I was witnessing at my job to everybody. I just went through the office at American Family. I went through the office. I was an underwriter when I worked there. And I just put tracts on everybody's desks. I was just like dropping tracts on the desks. And then I didn't know you couldn't do that. So my supervisor called me and he's like, hey, I just want you to know I'm a Christian too. And I really appreciate what you're doing. I'm like, hey, man, another brother. He's like, you can't do that. I'm like, oh, man. Why not? And then, you know, of course, he's in a tough place because he wants the gospel too, but he's being told, you know, you can't do this. So witnessing, I mean, there's maybe you can't drop tracts on desks, but you know what sometimes we do is we just stop witnessing altogether. We stop making any effort at all to have a testimony for Jesus while we're at work. And God says, no, I want you to have a testimony. But what are the consequences, though? I don't know, Lord. I don't know. If I pick up that end of the stick, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. You know what? Israel's going to go into a conflict. And God says, I'll bless you. I'll take care of you. You need to destroy the nation. They're going to go into these conflicts. And you know what that fear could do? Cause them to say, I can't do this. And then they're not going to have the blessings because they didn't obey God. That can happen to us. Murky in our homes. Sometimes, you know, our home, oh, there's so many different angles to this. Giving, we talked about tithes last week. That's a challenge. God said that, by the way. God said tithe. And when we pick up the obedience to God, we're nervous about it, aren't we? God wants us to tithe. God said, I'll bless you. That's the other end of the stick. And we're nervous. I don't think we can afford it. And what if we can't pay these bills, you know, because we tithe? And we have all these things we're afraid of. And they say, I don't think I can do this. I'm just gonna leave that. But you miss it. You miss the other end of the stick. Sure. Don't you miss it. In our homes, God says, I want you to change your media outlet. I'm not going to do a lot of preaching about movies and TV and stuff, but sometimes there's that entertainment thing there, and God's trying to subtly touch you and say something needs to change there. And you're like, oh man, what are we going to do though? It'll just be bored. I remember there was these kids in our youth group. This was years ago, and they were playing all these games, you know, like violent, like, and they're worse today. I don't know. I just see sometimes the commercials, and it's like real life, and there's, I don't want to, it's graphic. Let's just say that. Let's just leave it there, okay? Really graphic and gross. And these are video games, and it looks real. And it's not like you're watching other people do it through a movie. Like, you're doing it. Like, you are controlling this person who is shooting and doing stuff violent, really violent. Maybe God is stirring up and says, oh, hey, remember that verse that says, thou shalt not kill? And he starts working in us, and there's a change that needs to happen. Well, what am I going to do? I'm going to be bored. You know? What am I going to do? I remember, anyway, I won't go too much there, but we struggle sometimes because we're afraid that if we give up things that entertain us, then we're just going to be so bored, we're not even going to know what to do. And because we're afraid of that consequence, we say, I don't think I'm going to do this. In our homes, we're afraid of the end of the stick. Paralyzes us with fear. Sometimes we fizzle. You know what fizzle, when I'm talking about fizzle? Like sort of fizzles out. Sort of like the firework, the thing that you light it and it shoots sparks out of the end and then it just sort of dies off. Sometimes that's us. I like, how many of you really like firework shows? I like them. Yeah, amen. We get to hear them for like 16 days straight before 4th of July, right in town, don't we? You just look out your window. There they are. Sometimes we're like firecracker Christians, though, aren't we? I, you know, listen, God does not want us to be firecracker Christians. What do you mean, firecracker? On fire for God. I love the Lord. Next week, I hate church. I don't want to read my Bible ever again. Firecracker. On fire for God. Gone. Hadn't seen you for 6 months. You know, God doesn't want us to be like that. But that sometimes is the case. Why? Because, you know, it's hard to stand for God in a consistent way. And yeah, you might say, I'm picking up God's end of the stick. Hallelujah. Youth con and camp and God's doing it. And I'm going to start being nice to my brothers and sisters and my mom. I'm going to do what mom says. Amen, moms. I'm going to do what dad says. Yeah, I'm going to, yes, I'm going to serve and then fizzle out. Fizzle out. And you miss out on the blessings because it's not just that you do it. Like, you need to follow through. And we miss out because we fizzle out. Yeah. We forget that there's another end of the stick. We make a decision. We're excited about it. The consequences, the blessings, and maybe in the moment we're a little bit not emotional, but we're just definitely feeling like we know what God wants us to do. And in that case, we want to do what God wants us to do. And we're excited about it. But then we get back in the world and we get back around our normal life. And then what happens is we forget about the other end of the stick. And then we just fizzle. We forget that God's blessings are connected to our obedience. You can choose your sin. You can choose. That's the power that has been given to all of us as human beings. You can choose. You can choose to sin. You can choose to obey. But you cannot choose the consequence associated to your choice. What comes along, the judgment or the blessing, you can't choose that. It just comes along with it. So you got to think about the other end of the stick. Serving God, don't be afraid to serve God. Boys, don't be afraid to serve God. He's touching your heart, working it. All of us tonight, don't be afraid to serve Him. Not to be afraid. There's blessings connected to God's leadership in serving. You get the other end of the stick when you serve. Can I say, don't pick up this stick that says, I'm done with church. I'm done with church. I'm done with it. Don't pick up that stick. Why? Because you're going to get the other end of that stick. And believe me, friends, you don't want the other end of the stick of deciding that you're not interested in God and church anymore. It's a consequence of loneliness, for sure. Emptiness, lack of fulfillment, discouragement, definitely. Fear of giving, we talked about that. Anger. Anger has a consequence, doesn't it? You can be an angry person. You can do that. But you cannot choose the consequence of your anger. And it will have consequences. You can fear surrendering. You can fear staying where God wants you to be. Some of us, we're not fighting being where God wants or surrendering. We're having trouble, in some cases, the fizzle part. I know I'm where God wants me to be. I just want to stay. Just remember, He's the faithful God. If you're where He wants you to be, then just stay there. The blessings will come. You know, how many of you remember the sermon? How could you? I've preached it so many times. If you forgot, come on. Kicking against the pricks. Remember that? Say you kick against God. Kick against God. You can do that. You can kick against God. You pick up that stick. I just don't want to do what God wants me to do. And you kick and you kick and you kick. Then what's on the other end of that stick? God already told us. It's a hard life, isn't it? It's a hard life when you kick against God. We're almost done. Look at verse 12. How does this affect your decisions? Think about this. Verse 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken. Jump down to verse 13. And He will love thee and bless thee. Yep, He'll bless you. Verse 9. Therefore, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God the faithful God. I'm just going to say two things tonight and we're done. And we're going to have invitation. I want to encourage you to pick up the stick of obedience tonight. You might be scared. But I want to encourage you to pick up the stick of obedience. Yeah, stick them up too. I surrender God. Although God isn't pointing a gun at you, but pick up the stick of obedience. Because, listen, please get this. You miss the message if you don't get this. If you pick up the stick of obedience to God, then you can know the faithful God told you this. You get the other end of the stick. And what is that? Blessings. He will bless you. Don't pick up the stick of disobedience. Because you not only forfeit the blessings, you get the consequences. So it's not like just that it's neutral. You don't get the blessings. You actually do get the curses. So it's not even worth it. What's God leading you to do tonight? What's the stick of obedience for you tonight? You can trust Him. You don't have to be afraid. Father, tonight, we need to turn our hearts to You back in obedience. It might be that we have been led of You. We know what You want us to do. It might be that we have known what You want us to do. We decided to do it and we fizzled away because we've forgotten the other side of the stick. Would You help us tonight to get right with You in obedience and to get revived in You in our obedience? Help us to remember the great truth of your faithfulness and your promises and your blessings in obedience. And we'll give you glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. If God's worked in you,